Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
All right, we are back. I cannot believe it has been this long, but we are ready to start season two of the Oley Insider. I'm here with my partner in citizen journalism, Erica Engelhart.
Hi, everybody, and I'm here with Jay Fratt.
Yeah, what's up, what's up? So here we are. I, you know, maybe we should do some pleasantries at the beginning. Did you have a good summer? How was your fall? Are you ready for this upcoming session?
Well, you know, this, it seemed like it did fly by. I can't believe we're already back here, but it's kind of exciting. I had a good summer. I had a great end of my summer. I did a little salmon fishing in the river, which was new for me, but I had a blast. And I can't wait to do it again. Other than that, just the regular, you know, living life and doing all the regular stuff that you got to do. How about you?
I'm excited for the upcoming session. Last summer, I was able to retire. I retired early so that I could spend more time, more disciplined time focused on civic engagement and my reality investigations, if you were, and participating in our political process. So I'm excited for season two that I don't have a lot of business ties hanging me down. I'll be able to go kind of wherever and whenever I'm needed.
Well, that's got to feel pretty good. Congratulations on the retirement.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's give the people, as we start season two, this is a preview of the Washington Legislature 2026 for the Oley Insider. Let's tell them what we did last year, because I know when you read this list of our accomplishments, you were a little surprised. You're like, whoa, we did okay.
Yes, absolutely. Let's tell them about last year.
Okay, so we learned about OPR. That's the Office of Program Research. We exposed opaque rules on legislators' presence when voting on bills. We stopped a dangerous bill, SB 5068. We stopped that. That bill died mainly because of our efforts. We learned about agency request bills, and we've got some of those coming up in 2026. We exposed misinformation used as foundational testimony in anti-Second Amendment legislation. That was some of our funnest work, I think. That was kind of neat. We really got it in, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that's kind of exciting about this whole process and the things that we learned last year is that we see that we can have an impact. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. We were there at the legislature late at night participating in the process. We interviewed key legislators about the legislative process and the insider's notes in live time. And finally, we made testimony in committee and exposed just how ignored the people's voice is in the process.
We were pretty busy.
Yes, and I'm excited because this is an educational podcast, Oley Insider. We stepped into this without a lot of knowledge of the legislative process, and year one of just kind of bringing people along the ride. You know, what is committee? What's in committee? Out of committee? What are these agency request bills? What is this deadline for legislation? You know, learning about all those things, we were actually able to make an impact, which is important for people to understand is just in our first year of covering the legislature, we've got some heads we can mount on the wall, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So, starting off in this preview, Erica and I have a few bills that have caught our eye, but both she and I had a really big question. Last year, as we were starting this process, we had insiders kind of tell us what to expect, and they weren't always right. And so we kind of learned along the way. Well, the big thing about Ole Insider is when we have a question, we don't feel dumb. We don't keep it to ourselves. We don't mind asking. And we ask the experts, and they are nice enough to give us their time. So, Erica, do you want to set up this question that we had that we found Representative Matt Marshall? He was in his freshman legislative session last year, so it was his first session. It was our first session. So we thought, what better legislator to knock on the door of, if you will, ring up on the telephone to answer these questions than Representative Matt Marshall, Republican from the 2nd Legislative District? What was this burning question we had, Erica?
So basically, we wanted to understand, because this is the second year of this legislative session, and last year we talked about some bills dying, but then, you know, over this time off we had, we kind of learned that that's not the case, maybe. So we wanted to know if bills from last year are still on the table this year and kind of what to expect, because last year we were told was the budget year and this year we assumed would be the policy year. So we wanted to kind of nail down those details so we would know what to expect.
Yeah. So we asked Matt Marshall, what's up, Matt? How can you answer that question, sir?
Okay. So the legislative sessions are broken to what we call bienniums. So we have a long session the first year after the main elections, and then we have a short year like the year that's upcoming. So a 105-day session versus a 60-day session. The 105-day session, when pre-filing opens, there is not a single bill that is alive and active at that time. So last year when we started, every bill that was being introduced fresh. Partway through the session last year, we hit what was called policy cutoff, and that is on the calendar saying that if we don't have anything that has gone through executive committee, so it's been introduced, it has had a hearing and public input, the executive committee is where the committee votes to move it to the floor. So if we get through the policy cutoff and that bill has not left committee, then that bill is dead. We also have a floor time where it's policy cutoff. So if it doesn't make it off the floor, it'll be dead. That's the one that most of us as legislators really pay attention to, is if a bill does not make it out of our chamber, whether it's the House or the Senate, by this day, then it is dead for that session. So this year, we have lots of legislation that either never had a hearing, never received a vote in the House, or maybe it passed like a bill that I have, or had, 1784, that went unanimous through committee, unanimous through the House, and never received a vote in the Senate. That bill also died last year. Any bill that was introduced last year that did not become law last year is alive and well come the first day of session this year. So any of those bills that didn't receive a hearing, or ones like my House Bill 1784 that made it through the chamber, is alive and well. And at the end of this session, at sine die March 12th of 2026, every single bill that did not pass both chambers is dead, and would have to be fully reintroduced in the 2027 session.
Well, that's exactly what we needed to hear, a little bit of clarification, and it makes more sense now why it's a two-year legislative session.
Yeah, and... I go back to last year thinking about bills like Representative Farivar and that ammunition legislation that she put forth, and the misinformation that was in the gun bills, and that was introduced in the previous session. So they introduced bills with misinformation in its foundation. It was dead, as Representative Marshall said. Then they reintroduced it last session, and it will be alive and well again automatically in this session.
Yes, we're not out of the water yet on that one.
Yeah, and then the other thing that's interesting is we were told last year, oh, it's going to be all about the budget, all about the budget. But it was very policy heavy last year. And so, you know, we did ask him what to expect for 2026. But I'm leery of like buying into any thematic because we were told it was going to be all about the budget. And yet there were so many policy legislations put forth. Do you want to go right to the clip where we asked Representative Marshall what he expects from 2026 session?
Yes, let's go to it.
My anticipation for this session is that it is primarily budget focused and how to make where the give and take is going to go with a limited amount of resources. I do know there is a giant wrench that has been thrown into the majority party's plan of keeping this purely on tax policy and spend policy. And that is with three initiatives that may or may not qualify that are petitions to the legislature. So the legislature may have to talk some serious policy with regarding the initiatives, which will take precious time away from the budget constraints and budget concerns. Additionally, there are already bills that are being rapidly dropped, talking about, very much like yourself, independent journalists. And it's with some of these daycare operations that I'll keep this very vanilla, that they raise lots of questions. And it seems to be that the majority party doesn't want those questions to be addressed. So I am interested to see what policy legislation comes forward that may affect independent journalists. And it could get quite spicy, especially if the federal government continues to keep an eye on what's happening in Washington regarding independent journalists. So I honestly think that the intent of the controlling party is to keep this session very much on budget and infrastructure and really the money. However, I think that we may see some fourth quarter bills drop that are going to be policy related and centered around freedom of speech. And I don't know what those are going to look like yet.
All right. And once again, it was really great to have Representative Marshall join us. So he did. There is ambiguity with how much policy will be mixed in to what a short session would be based on our budget woes, adjusting that budget, fixing that budget. There could be policy. In particular, he mentioned the Let's Go Washington initiatives and the Jim Walsh initiative for election integrity. If those get past the finish line, those immediately go to the legislature for consideration. So that would be, if all of those initiatives pass, that's going to be very time consuming for the legislature.
It is, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, those initiatives, people put a lot of effort into getting the signatures and getting it this far. So I, you know, don't feel too bad that they have to find the time to consider them.
Absolutely. And they could not consider them. They could make that choice. And then I believe the past initiatives, if they're not passed through the legislature, go immediately to the ballot that year.
Correct.
So that would be an option. All right. Well, let's get into a couple of the bills. They've pre-filed a lot of bills. We're not going to discuss any bills that were alive last year that are forwarding this year. We're going to stay nimble in our second year, and we're going to adjust to the bills that are in committee that we've got our eye on. But just early on, I spotted a couple bills that I've got my eye on, and these were agency request bills by the Attorney General Office. So one of them, HB 2105, is concerning immigrant worker protections. And it's a very interesting bill where the Attorney General, it's an agency request bill, is trying to make it so an employer has to let his employees know if the federal government has issued an I-9 audit. And I'm going to save comments as we get into this season, and we're going to cover this particular bill, but I've got my eye on that one. Another one is HB 2122. It's got 28 sponsors. So this thing is going to move forward, and it's going to require hospitals to offer immunizations for influenza in certain cases. So we're going to probably read about that one and follow that one in committee. Another agency request bill from the Attorney General Office, HB 2096, addressing the issuance of confidential identification to investigators employed by the Office of the Attorney General. And then tangentially, another bill, agency request bill from the Attorney General Office, 2156, concerning the authority of investigators of the Attorney General's office. So in 1 year, they are requesting to give Attorney General's office investigators special authority, and they're creating a situation where they mask these investigators by giving them clandestine, we'll just say avatars, right? Their special privileges in anonymity. And I found those two bills to be very interesting that we're going to learn more about and look into. Do you have your bills that you were spotting loaded up?
I do. So I have... okay, so we have this HB 2100, which says enacting an excise tax on large operating companies on the amount of payroll expenses above the minimum wage threshold of the additional Medicare tax to fund services to benefit Washingtonians and establishing the Well Washington Fund account.
Whew, that's a mouthful.
So, it sure was, yes. But from my understanding, it's you know, another tax that they're trying to impose on employers, but the funds, it looks like, will go towards this Well Washington Fund account. And maybe we'll get a little bit more into all that once we get going with, you know, once the bill gets moving and we can learn a little bit more about it also. Mm-hmm. So another bill I have is HB 2123. Which is concerning foreign national participation in Washington state elections. So
what's that? Come again? Concerning foreign national participation in Washington state elections? This is right in your wheelhouse. What is this?
Yes. So I read the bill, and from my understanding, it has to do mostly with funding, not necessarily, you know, foreign nationals voting, but it has to do with the funding of certain political campaigns and stuff like that. It, what is kind of interesting is it's so far a bipartisan bill, meaning it has a Democrat and a Republican sponsor. And part of the reason I chose the bill, not only because I'm interested in the election part of it, but because it seemed like, you know, I got some feedback that, you know, some people seem to think it's... or they interpret it a little differently than I interpret it. So I kind of wanted to follow it to, you know, get down to the bottom to see what it really does. But from my perspective, it looks like it allows foreign nationals to fund certain political campaigns.
Wow. Okay.
And then I have one more bill here that we'll talk about, which is SB 5926. And this one is an act relating to expanding public records exemptions for personal information of family home child care providers and all licensed or certified child care providers. So I think that Representative Marshall had a comment about this one in particular. Can we play that really quick?
Another thing that is problematic, that is a recurring theme that I fully anticipate happening this year, is more PR exemptions. And so this is something that it needs to be watched. Somebody like yourself, your podcast, keeping tabs on this would be great. But PRA is a Public Records Act. And every single year, there are several bills that chip away at the Public's Record Act, adding exemptions. This year, the move that I think was just submitted yesterday or the day before, if not, it'll be in shortly, is PRA exemptions, so public records exemptions for any state-funded daycare in the state. So rather than get out in front of these allegations of fraud and say, hey, we need to look into this and actually launch some sort of investigation, the initial knee-jerk reaction by the majority party has been hide this data from the public. That by itself should set off everybody's alarm bells.
All right. And that, and you were right. He's specifically talking about SB 5926, an act relating to expanding the public records exemption for personal information of family home child care providers to all licensed or certified child care providers, a hot topic right now.
Yes, it is a hot topic. And, you know, I'm sure most of our viewers are already aware because they're in the know, and that's why they listen to our podcast. But just in case anyone who's not aware, over in, I believe it was Minnesota, some independent journalists started investigating the funding of home daycares, and they found what looks like it could be potential fraud. And then now people here in Washington have been looking into the same thing. So that's what he's referring to about these fraud allegations.
Yeah, and fraud into the billions and systemic and widespread, notably among an immigrant community, the Somali community. So the shields have gone up to protect, you know, the immigrant communities, and yet people still need to investigate fraud, whether it's committed by, you know, multi-generational citizens or new generation citizens or immigrants. Fraud is fraud. Doesn't matter who's committing it.
Yes, I agree with you there.
Well, there we are. We're back. The session is starting next week. I think it's the 12th. Erica Engelhart, Jay Fratt, Ole Insider will be covering the legislature again this year and kind of bringing you along as we train ourselves up and learn more about the process and learn more about ways to participate and actively participating in the bureaucracy and the legislative process that governs us.
Yes, absolutely. We're making a difference.
At least we're trying, right?
Yes.
So thank you all for listening. And the next show will probably be within a couple days after the 12th. We'll catch our bearings and we'll figure out a nice consistent schedule. But we just wanted to pop in before the legislative season started and kind of go over a few of those bills. And once again, in the show notes for this show at oleinsider.com, there are links to the legislation, links to the WaLeg website, and you can start plugging in your own bills that you're interested in learning about them. I will say, I mean, Eric, and I don't know if you've noticed this as well, I suspect once the session starts, they're going to have better information on the legislature website. Right now, you can view the whole bills, but I suspect these really good summaries that OPR comes up with, those will come in when bills maybe get to committee and we get a little further along in the process.
Yes, I'm hoping so, too, because right now it's a little hard to navigate and find everything. But I think you're right. So just stick with us and check back soon, because we'll be back with some more info.
And as always, every episode, you'll get takes and insight from Ole Insiders. Peace out, everybody.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.